gospel is with you.
The holy gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said to his disciples, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please have a seat. Almost 9 years ago, my mother died. And when she was dying, my sister and I traveled down to Amarillo, Texas to be with her. And we stayed with her about a week and a half. And cared for her, and when she passed away, the next day we decided to go someplace just to refresh ourselves, and so we went to Palo Duro Canyon. And I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's the second largest canyon after the Grand Canyon in the United States, and it is beautiful. It's a very good place to see God when you need to. And there are rock formations there that look like castles and towers. And the walls of the canyons are just beautiful with these bands of colors. It's just amazing. And it's created by the Red River, the erosion of the water over thousands and thousands of years, wearing it away, not into sand, not crumbling it into dust, but creating these amazing formations. It's just beautiful. It's the most amazing creation of God. And formation is a term that's used a lot among Christians. People that are going to be monks or nuns use the word formation when they're talking about that process of becoming ready for the monastic life. And they talk about formation because their lives are being formed by the hardship of renouncing things, renouncing the world, renouncing the ties to family, renouncing the chance of marriage and children, renouncing worldly goods. They're formed by that friction of life in constant community, which we all know is not an easy thing. And they're formed by that constant battle against the self, those things inside that wear on us all the time. That's formation. But it's not just for monks and nuns, it's for all Christians. Our whole lives as Christians, we are in a process of formation. And the passage that Bomi read this morning from the book of Romans is all about formation. And I want to read it over again because I usually preach on the gospel and that's fresh in your minds, but I want to make sure that we're holding on to the words of this little passage that we're going to talk about. If you wanted to look it up in your Pew Bible, it's on page 118 of the New Testament. But if you have a large print, it's on page 207 of the New Testament. So I'm just going to read it over. Since we're justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. All those forces that are at work in our lives, like the waters of the Red River, that are eating away at us, that seem to be wearing us down, Paul says, those things will not destroy us. Our suffering will not grind us down to nothingness, but it will produce endurance, something that will last. And our endurance is not just a matter of gritting our teeth and holding out by sheer force of will and trying to have a good attitude. Endurance develops resilience in us, strength of character that's proven by testing. And our proven character does not form in us a grim and depressing acceptance of reality, or what passes for reality in this world. It produces a living hope, an expectation of something really good and really beautiful that's based on real reality, the real reality of a loving God, a hope that will never, ever disappoint us. Like that constant erosion of the waters of the Red River acting on the rock of Palo Duro Canyon, all those forces of life in this world will not destroy us, but will produce something good, something of beauty, something of permanence that will last. Not because we're strong, not because we have a good attitude and keep smiling no matter what, but because God is at work in our lives. Psalm 46 says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. So, what does that have to do with the Trinity? Because this is Trinity Sunday. What it has to do is this. We can't explain the Holy Trinity. We can't describe the Holy Trinity. The Trinity is not like a shamrock. That's three leaves and one little plant. The Trinity is not like water that's found in three forms, gas and solid and liquid. The Trinity is not like man who is spirit, soul, and body. The Trinity is not like anything we can picture in our minds. The concept of the Trinity is a mystery. It's beyond our understanding. The closest I can come to what we do, to what I would say we're doing when we try to describe or explain the Trinity is this. Describing God with the term Trinity is like a little child drawing a stick figure of his mother with the legs and the arms. It's completely inadequate, but it's the best he can do. But that child knows his mother intimately with all his little being. If there were 1,000 or 10,000 women, just like his mother, all lined up, that child would have no trouble picking out his mother. We can't describe the Holy Trinity. We can't explain the Holy Trinity, but we can know the Holy Trinity because the triune God is at work in our lives. You never even find the word Trinity in the pages of the Bible, but the Trinity is at work on every page of the Bible. Because that's who God is. And this passage from Romans that we just read twice is just one out of so many passages, so many examples of how we know our God as Father and as Son and as Holy Spirit. The Son who restored our relationship with the Father, and the Father and the Son who sent the Spirit to dwell with us and in us, and the Spirit who fills us with the love of the Father. If we know that God is at work in our lives, the Father and the Son and the Spirit, then we see in those hard things of our life, like the death of my mother, like the struggles of Stephanie, the young woman who had the lung transplant, like the struggles of the little girl, Natalie, who has had so much suffering and is now going to be undergoing back surgery. Like so many sorrows and frustrations that everybody in this room faces every single day. Little suffering, big suffering, things that are truly painful. Those are not just the random impersonal forces of a hostile world that are going to beat us down and wear us down into dust. The hand of our Lord is at work and the love of the Father and the touch of the Spirit are forming something beautiful and lasting in our life that will not disappoint us, that will not let us down. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has opened the way to the Father. He became one with us so that we could be one with him, so we could be sons and daughters of the Father, brought close to the Father, not by any work of our own, purely as a gift of grace. And it's the love of the Father that sent the Son into the world, and it's the Holy Spirit sent from the Father and the Son that made his home in our hearts to fill them to overflowing with the love of the Father. And the best picture I could think of with that is if you've ever seen the Disney Fantasia and the depiction of the Sorcerer's Apprentice, when the magic of the Sorcerer's Apprentice kind of goes awry and he has those magic brooms that are coming and filling the room with water and filling the room with water and filling the room with water. That's the love of the Father in our hearts. On and on and on, filling us and filling us and filling us to overflowing, and can't hold it at all. And that is the Holy Trinity at work in our lives. We can't ever explain God the Holy Trinity, even if we were the most brilliant theologian in the whole world, no matter how eloquent we were, no matter how smart we were, we cannot describe God the Holy Trinity. But just like that little child who can just draw a stick figure of his mother, we who are plain old people can and do know God, know the Holy Trinity, the Father who loves us, and the Son who saves us, and the Holy Spirit who makes his home in us and fills us up to overflowing with the Father's love. Psalm 46 calls us to be still. Be still and know that I am God. Stop trying to put God into a box. Make a description. Know. We can know God because he's creating something of beauty in each of you. He's creating something of endurance that will last in each of you. Because even better than knowing him, we are known by him. Amen. Amen.